Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. May 3rd, we begin this series, Spiritual Leadership, and we've been covering many different aspects of life that spiritual leadership shows up. First was in the church when we introduced John and Riley, and then we preached on spiritual leadership in the home, and we covered that area of our lives and for parents, and then spiritual leadership, we got more personal spiritual leadership over ourselves, and we looked at the man in the mirror. And then last Sunday, unbeknownst to me, my message turned into a two-parter, and we covered spiritual leadership in the workplace. And this theme today fits quite well, being as we are encouraging these two young high school graduates as they're setting out into adulthood, and then with John and Riley and their leadership here in the church and also in our community. As I told you last Sunday, if you are a Christ follower, whether you realize it or not, you are called to lead at the workplace. That is to have spiritual influence and lead people to know Christ. It does not matter what your status is, what your job title is. It doesn't matter if you have an entry-level job or a high-level, high-paying job. You are called to be a light and to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through your testimony, through your words, through your conduct. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you, every one of you, to live out your life at work in this community in such a way that people are drawn. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and that you will exercise spiritual leadership in the workplace. The scripture before us today, for those of you who were not here, let me just give you a little context. It is largely addressing how servants worked under their masters in the Roman Empire. And there was an estimated 60 million slaves in Rome at this time. Now, the type of slavery that Paul is talking about here is not the abhorrent race-based slavery that has been a stain on American history from many years ago and in more modern times. The word bondservant here is the Greek word doulos, which means an indentured servant. This type of slavery mentioned here crossed over to all races and socioeconomic categories and was an acceptable way of life. This type of working relationship was much more like today between an employer and an employee. So just keep that context in mind as we read down through this. In these verses that we're getting ready to read, the Apostle Paul is specifically talking to Christ followers, to those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, to those who are genuine Christians, who have been born again by the Spirit of God. He is talking to them and about how they serve their masters and how they, as the employers, treat their employees treat their employers and their bosses, and how they should conduct themselves. So, with that in mind, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. The Bible says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service." Now, eye service is just serving only when people are looking at you. When the boss walks by, all of a sudden, solitaire. You remember that back in the day? Goes off on the big cube computer screen. You hide solitaire and you just start typing nonsense, you know. That's eye service. That's just putting on a show when the boss is watching or when your coworkers are watching. So the Bible says, as bondservants, you don't serve with eye service. Or as men pleasers. Some people, all they want to do is just be a people pleaser, and they end up pleasing no one. And so the Bible says, don't be eye service, don't be men pleasers, but please God. And as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Father, this morning we have prayed so many prayers already. We've prayed over our children. We've prayed over our teenagers. We've prayed over our leaders. And now we pray, Lord, for ourselves, that we would be receivers of what you want to give us, that we would be obedient and submissive to you, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us in all truth, and that we would say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. May it be so in this flock, in this congregation, with these graduates, with these new deacons, and with this shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we covered humility. So the Apostle Paul, right out of the gate, addresses our attitude. And he said, you're going to have to, if you're going to lead people and be a light and a witness and be effective in the workplace for God's glory, you're going to have to humble yourself and follow instructions and obey your masters. And next, we covered respect. And he said, you don't just do what they say, but you do it with respect, with fear and trembling, just as you are to respect your parents, just as you are to respect policemen, just as you are to respect government authority, just as you are to respect spiritual leadership, you are to respect those God has placed over you in the workplace, and to do so in a way that is humble and respectful. And then we concluded there, we paused there, and we came forward last Sunday, and we prayed for those who are leading us. We prayed for ourselves, but we prayed that God would use us to lead our co-workers and our bosses to Christ. And so we will pick up in the next verse. And in the workplace, we lead in humility, we lead in respect, and in the workplace, we are called to lead with excellence. Look at verse 6. The Apostle Paul said, doing the will of God from the heart. Christians should strive to be known for excellence in who we are, in what we do, and in how we do it. The Bible says so. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says, whatever you do, do it with your might. Do it with all your heart. Do it to your very best. Do you remember facing the giants? Tim and Linda Holt do, because Tim gave his life to Jesus Christ after watching that movie. And you remember the coach down on the gridiron and talking to that guy named Brock, and he's like, I want you to just phone it in. Just do your mediocre. No, he's like, I want your best. I want your very best. Do you remember that? It was just so inspiring. And what was he saying? Do it with all your might. And he had that player on his back, and he did that bear crawl from end zone to end zone. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I just spoiled it for you. But anyway, it was great. And what the coach was saying is, look, I don't want you to be half-hearted. I don't want you to be half glass. I want you to be all in. I want you to give your all. I want you to be passionate in what God has enabled you to do. And then Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Heartily means the vital force which animates the body, that burning passion on the inside. Let it exhibit itself on the outside. Get a kick in the seat of the pants. I was thinking about my dad this week. I told my wife, Carrie, yesterday, I said, you know, we were going home from the park. We had a young families event we spoke at, and we took like a half-mile walk one way to Witt's and ate ice cream together, and it was great. But as we're walking, we were talking about the evening, we were talking about our week, and I said, you know, I am so grateful for my parents that they taught us to work hard and that they taught us to do our best and work with excellence. And I was thinking about my dad, and I was thinking about this one thing. I don't know why. I guess because I used it quite a bit this week. Now, for you younger generation, this is called a scoop shovel, okay? This is supposed to be for, you know, just getting big loads of whatever you got to work on. But in the 80s, do you remember the influx of snow that we would have more than we do now? And this was not just for straw or hay or light items. This was for wet, heavy, packed in snow on our deck that's about the size of the Titanic. And Gibbs and my brother Danny were responsible to shovel the snow on the deck. So my dad would send us out with these things, not plastic little light things, but these giants. And I would be out there, and all of a sudden, this became like win, lose, or draw to me, rather than a snow shovel. And I'm out there thinking of all the different things that this thing is bringing into my life. And I am going down the steps and down the hill. I'm, you know, Rascal Flatts, life is a highway, I can't ride it all night long. And then I'm thinking, you know, this thing is quite beautiful. And I'm dancing out there. You are pretty good looking. A little top heavy, but you're actually better looking than a couple of girls I've dated. Anyway, I'd be out there, and then all of a sudden, like it would have taken us probably 30 minutes, both of us together, to really crank on this thing, get it done. And we weren't supposed to just shovel a walkway on the steps. We wanted the whole thing so we could have a picnic in the middle of the winter. But anyway, I'm out there playing around, and all of a sudden, I hear the creaking of a squeaky door, and I see, if you're a Marvel fan, the Flash. And I see this black angel of death blazing towards me, and I'm sitting on this shovel, and my father picks me up. My moon boot goes flying. The bread bag that my mother put over with rubber bands on my feet were showing. My dad places me in a pile over here, and he takes this thing and just just, if you've ever seen a snowblower and the mist, smoke of snow dust, that was nothing compared to my father. He was out there just going to town. Your grandparents are going to be here in 10 minutes. Do you want your grandmother to break her ever-living neck? And just, you know. Come on, Dad, you can do it. Do it heartily, Daddy. No, he did that for about 1 minute, had a heart attack, and said, now, there's 15 steps. You do the last half of the one I missed. Do it. But I thought, man, I'm so grateful for a father that taught his children, don't just do it. Do it well. Do it with excellence. Do your best. Do it with all your heart. And that's what Christians should look like in the workplace. How many of you here, curious, how many of you have you or your spouse or a grandchild or one of your children have an iPhone or an iPad or an Apple device? Will you raise your hand? Okay, keep them up. Raise them a little higher. Look around. Look around, everybody. Now, there may be, but I don't see any hands that aren't raised. Almost all the hands were raised in this place. Why? Because Apple puts out an excellent product. And not just excellent apps, and not just an excellent phone, and not just excellent audio, but all the way down to the box. All the way down to the cardboard. They have had scientific intervention just for cardboard. And listen to this article. It says this. It's entitled, Apple Inc.'s Packaging Excellence. Apple famously employs a highly calculated delay, taking about 7 seconds for the lid of a new iPhone box to slide off. The specific air resistance inside the cardboard builds anticipation and highlights the premium nature of the product. And so you get that iPhone 17, and you just, it's just a little, and then there's that suction. And here you go. And it takes an average of 7 seconds for that to just gently fall out of there. iPhone, Apple, they don't phone it in on the big, but they don't do half-hearted even on the small details. And it makes such a difference. Excellence. Because all of you this morning testify that you like excellence, because almost every single one of you have bought Apple's products. And is the world buying into your example of spiritual living in the workplace? Do you exemplify excellence? Even in this church, we have our mission statement, our purpose statement, but we also have values. The 5 values are this: devoted worship. We value that. Not just half-hearted and we show up once a month. No, devoted to this place, to this flock. Joyful service. We want to serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, Psalm 100. And we value excellent work. If you're going to serve here, if you're going to be on staff, if you're going to clean the church, if you're going to shovel the snow, if you're going to whatever it is, whatever level, if you're going to be a new deacon, we want you to serve with excellence. And then genuine friendship and unified fellowship. We must be united. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And then exemplary leadership. We want those who are our leaders to exemplify what it looks like to be a God-honoring, devoted follower of Jesus Christ in our lives, not just at church, but in the community and at home. Kent Hughes said this: Genesis 1 logs God's commitment to excellence when it says God saw all that He had made and it was very good. Christians should always do good work. Christians ought to be the best workers, and wherever they are, they ought to have the best attitude, the best integrity, and be the best in dependability. Write down this scripture reference, Luke 16:10. Jesus said this: He who is faithful in a little, in the small, will be faithful in much. And he who is unfaithful in a little will be unfaithful in much. And he said, if you cannot be trusted with the menial small things that man gives you to do, do you expect God to be able to bless you with spiritual, large callings? So the Bible says that we are called to lead with excellence. Next, in the workplace, we're called to lead in kindness. Look at verse 7. And pardon me. Got the best of me. Look what verse 7 says. If you're going to serve with goodwill. Goodwill. Doing service. Goodwill means kindness. Did you know that you can do what your boss tells you? You can respect his position of authority, and you can do a good job at your work, and at the same time still be a mean jerk. You ever work with people like that? Some of you are, yeah, absolutely. Sitting right beside them. No. These people can show up on time. They're dependable. They follow instructions. They get the job done correctly and get the job done well. But they are miserable to be around. But that shouldn't be the story of the spirit of Christian employees. Galatians 5:22 says that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you ought to be producing fruit. He will be producing fruit in you. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Three people came to my mind immediately, leaders in our church, people we work with. The first was Ron Fear and his wife Karma. Kind people. And so many of you are, but these just popped into my mind. Casey Swanson. Such a kind man, and his wife Natalie. Such a kind lady. And I thought of my wife. Such a kind, loving lady. I want you to look to the screens for a moment and see what Paul not only told Timothy, but he told Titus. He said, remind the Christ followers, remind each other, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But look at this. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And all of the redeemed of the Lord said, Amen. What was it that drew you to Christ? Yes, He is a holy God. That His number one, uno, that is His defining characteristic. God is holy. God is love, but first and foremost, God is holy. But what was it when you realized that when God sent His Son to die on the cross, what was it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And it was God's kindness to you that drew you and led you to Himself. And it is no different in the workplace. Paul is saying here that it will be your kindness and your love that will draw, your goodwill will draw people and lead them spiritually. So, humility, respect, excellence, kindness, and then worship. Look at verse 7. Look what he says here. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, as to the Lord. You definitely need to get this because we queued that up right on time. This is key. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, as to the Lord. This one reality could truly change and revolutionize your job experience. If you really practiced it, believed it, and lived it out, that your job is ultimately, your work is ultimately, your time, your energy, your investment in your job, it is all to be for the Lord and for His glory, no matter what your occupational or vocational title is. Your work is to be for and to the Lord. And that will change everything when you look at your job as an act and a calling of worship. If every crash of the wave onto the seashore is crying out glory and praise to God, and it is, and every whale that moans in the sea is crying out worship to its creator, and every bird that tweets, and every donkey that shrieks, and every cow that moos, and every sheep that baths are crying out glory to God. I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, He has made you in every area of your life. He has made you to glorify and worship Him. Even at your work, in every area of life. What if tomorrow you push that broom, cleaned that toilet, stocked that part, built that wall, painted that house, changed that diaper, served that table, crunched those numbers, mowed that lawn, ran that wiring, recharged that air conditioner, drove that truck, washed those windows, planted those beans, ran that register, flew that plane, passed the legislation, nursed that patient, managed that team, taught those students, sold that house, all of it in worship to Almighty God. Because that is exactly
what he has called us to do. Our work is to be worship. God, the very first human being that God made was Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden to hang out and veg out. No, he put Adam in the garden to be a gardener and a worker and a farmer. And God said, I have blessed man with work. Gilbert Mylander said this, first and foremost, work is not about economic exchange, financial remuneration, or a pathway to the American dream, but about God honoring human activity and contribution. Our work, whatever it is, whether we are paid for it, is our specific human contribution to God's ongoing creation. I want you to look at the screens once more. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This should encourage you. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? It's not in vain. Whether you're serving in the church, or you're serving at Wendy's, or you're serving at Ariel, or you're serving at the gas station, it doesn't matter. The Bible says that whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. And then we have this final reassurance that we are to lead in the workplace in humility, respect, excellence, kindness, and we worship the Lord. And lastly, Paul says, our work will be rewarded. Look at verse 8. He said, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing as confidence, not hoping, but knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Be encouraged this morning that God is keeping track of all of our hours of labor. And he will bless us, the Bible says, for our faithful work ethic. At the end of the story, at the end of history, at the end of this earth, at the end of the book of the Bible, of God's word to you and to me, he starts out in Genesis giving man work to do. And he concludes in the last remaining verses of the Bible talking about our work. And let's look what it says here in Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. The way you live your life, the way you lead yourself, the way you lead your family, the way, men, you lead your spouse, the way, children, you follow leadership, the way, employees, you serve your employers, the way you conduct business with your boss. God is keeping record of it all. The way that you are faithful to God, to God's house, to God's people, faithful to do what God's word tells you to do, faithful to win the lost, faithful to be a light, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. The Bible says God is taking accurate records of every area and line item of your working life. And if you are faithful, Jesus said, if you're faithful, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you according to your work. And so this morning, I ask you, are you leading in the workplace? Are you being a light? And is your work a drain and a strain on you and on everyone around you? Or is it worship? Are you working excellently? Are you serving the Lord with kindness? I'm going to ask the praise team to come, and Mom and Dad are going to sing this morning a hymn with us in closing that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. In fact, I'm going to have John and Riley come up with Dad and Mom. You don't have to sing, but stand here. You all come on up, and we're going to sing this morning, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I want this to be our anthem, to be our testimony this morning, would you bow with me and first have a word of prayer? Father, this morning we're grateful for your leadership in our lives. We're thankful, Lord, for you reaching out your arms, giving us an invitation. In Matthew 11:28, you said, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. So, Lord, this morning, as we have the founding pastor of the church here who worked and continues to work faithfully for you, and then the newest leaders in our church are standing here, Lord, the cry of our hearts is that we want to serve you and lead well and lead in such a way that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, I pray this morning that we would decide with all of our hearts that we're going to follow you and worship you with our lives and with our work. And, Lord, if there's someone here today that does not have a relationship with you, they need to come to Jesus and be saved. I pray, Lord, they would know that you said in your word, if you will repent and call out to the Lord, repent of our sins and call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So, Lord, if someone needs to come today, we'll pray with them now. We'll pray with them after the service. And then, Lord, I just pray for this church family that as we leave this place and go out into the workforce, that we would be a bright light for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together this morning.
Sing that one more time. And John, stand right in the middle of these guys. And guys, each of you take his arm, hold it up, raise it up, hold his arm, grab him up here, and you guys hold his arms up. This is what God pictured in the Old Testament of guys holding up the arms of God's man. And so these guys have signed on this morning to help hold his arms up. Sometimes your arms get heavy, and I was excited when my boys wanted to go in the ministry, but I had mixed feelings because they were entering the war. They're going to get shot at, and the burden's going to get heavy. And in the early days of John's ministry, I started staying away more and more, part of the reason, so the weight of responsibility would settle in on his shoulders, and it got there. So let's sing that again. I've decided to follow Jesus as these young men holds up this old preacher's hands. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
Lord bless you. You're dismissed.